outside of the Highlander show.
Just made my day. It was that Italian prince guy who tried to have sex with...
Love potion number 9, Sandra Bullock's finest work.
I'll agree with that.
Potion number 9? Burn on Sandra Speed. Bullock. Speed.
Miss Congeniality 1, I think.
Miss Congeniality is a really good movie.
I didn't really like the second one very much.
I don't even think I saw
laugh.
The second one.
I do laugh a lot at the first one.
First one's really good.
Yeah. It's like, to me, Miss Congeniality 1 and 2 are like Sister Act 1 and 2.
I love Sister Act.
Sister Act is amazing. Sister Act 2?
Yeah, I probably like Sister Act 2 more than I like Miss Congeniality 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Did they ever do a third Miss Congeniality? I don't think they did, right?
I don't think so. It was just the 2.
Okay. Benjamin Bratt, right? The guy from Law and Order?
Yeah.
Huh. What other... because, like, Miss Congeniality is not a movie made for us. But it was good
what,
enough
it wasn't?
To where we liked it.
Some guy here says Miss Congeniality 3, The Heat.
Okay, that's fair.
That's funny.
with that dude from Spy.
That dude from Spy?
That's so mean.
You're a jerk.
They're making a Spy too. Did you ever watch the first one?
Yeah. Jason Statham was the best part.
He was hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, hey, he can be that funny? Like,
yeah, I didn't know either. It was
make
so
the
odd.
Transporter a comedy. Let's do this. Give the Transporter to fucking, what's his name? Paul Feig.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd at this point, I'd watch it too.
Did you watch The Heat? Did you ever see The Heat?
I did. There's parts that made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, I never seen it.
Speaking of Heat, comes naturally, we are...
Mike.
I'm Cody. That space was for Joe, because his ass ain't here today. He's doing family stuff. Whatever. Fucking nerd.
Nerd. With family. Fucking nerd. Anyway.
I think I made Mike sad all of a sudden. Yeah, no, there were some funny parts to it, but it got to that point where it was like one of those ones where like they really pushed certain jokes too much, you know? Like they're running gags. But it was some pretty funny stuff in there.
What do you
I think that was one of the movies that I was like, oh, Melissa McCarthy can be pretty goddamn funny.
Yeah.
When she's not even trying to be. Like she does a really good job.
She's low key. She's kind of in that weird spot where like she keeps making not the same movie, but she keeps playing a variation of the same character.
Yeah.
But it's always pretty funny.
Yeah.
But like I never want to watch it in theaters though. And every time I watch something, like when I finally got around to watching Spy, I was like, fuck, this is a really good movie. Like, I really liked it.
Well, it's like in Bridesmaids. Like she was hilarious in Bridesmaids. Like she's always like the part where she's trying to hit on the fucking flight the air traffic.
You want to go in the restroom and not rest.
Yeah. That shit is hilarious.
She was fantastic. That's when she popped up on my radar. I wasn't really sure who she was before that.
I think it was her big intro.
Yeah, cool. She had that show.
She had Mike and Molly.
Yeah, which was a hugely popular show for CBS, I guess.
Yeah, it was a funny show.
Which is weird. It always feels like CBS exists in its own world that I'm not a part of.
Because whenever you think CBS, all you hear is like procedural dramas.
Yeah.
You're like cop, you know. Like,
I don't watch any of those.
Not good enough to be Law and Order stuff, you know? Like, it's all Blue Bloods and, like, Chicago this or whatever. Because, like, Chicago Med and Chicago Fire and Chicago Police and Chicago Dog Walkers and whatever the Chicago shows they have thrown up there. But, yeah, they're, like, because you got to remember, like, they had, because wasn't CBS, didn't they have, like, Ray Romano?
Yeah.
They had fucking
King of Queens.
King of Queens.
That was like their 1-2 punch for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to say some other stuff on there too, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but like after that, because I've never watched Everybody Loves Raymond or King of Queens while it was on. I always caught it later on, like on TBS.
Yeah, you'd see reruns in like those 5-hour blocks of like.
Yeah, same thing with Mike and Molly. I never watched Mike and Molly until every now and then episodes they had like that block on TBS.
Yeah.
CBS must own TBS, right?
I think they're all Turner Broadcast stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I never knew who she was. I remember Jen going
TBS or TNT?
TBS.
Is TBS.
TBS had the like that.
Oh, TNT's USA.
Yeah. TBS was like, oh, no, I think TNT and TBS are partnered together. But TNT was always like the hour-long dramas in the morning and mid-afternoon. Yeah, yeah. And then TBS was always like, you know,
daytime comedy from night to like
King of Queens, Everyone Loves Raymond, Mike and Molly, the one with like Michael Malley, like a show for a while, like that show would pop up. Yeah. With his weird brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But that was the thing when I saw Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Because I watched Bridesmaids because of, oddly enough, Maya Rudolph. Because I really love Maya Rudolph. You have
a weird, like, hard dick for Maya Rudolph for some reason.
She's fantastic. Yeah. Dude. She's amazing and everything. And
she's amazing in Idiocracy.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
But she's not, like, a huge, giant star, which upsets me because I feel like she should be. But everything she does, she fucking kills it. And so I was like, oh, I'm definitely watching this. It's like a big movie, and she's like one of the main characters in it. And then, because I had been off of SNL for a while at that point, so I wasn't really sure who Kristen Wiig was either.
Yeah.
Like, I knew she was on SNL, but, like, that's all I knew about her. And then, yeah, Melissa Cartney jumped up. And then Jen was like, oh, yeah, she was really funny on Gilmore Girls. I was like, what the fuck? She was on Gilmore Girls?
Everyone was on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, but she was, like, on it. Like, she was, like, a cast member. And then, yeah, then she just started pumping out all these crazy movies.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig, I would have thought after Bridesmaid, would have been bigger than she was. But she's still kind of like a slow burn in a way.
I think it's about to change though with Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I'm gonna play a villain. That's nuts.
Yeah, in a comic book movie. What?
Yeah, man.
Not a comedy, not a drama, because she's done some drama stuff.
Yeah.
And it was good. Like The Skeleton Twins was a good movie. It was still kind of funny, but it was mostly a drama.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like I was really excited about that casting because I love shit that like, oh, that person's doing this.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's like that thing where you want Jim Carrey to do something different.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hanks to do
a fucking Die Hard movie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like a horror action movie.
Yeah. So much.
Tom Hanks in the next Purge.
I'd finally watch a Purge movie.
You should watch them.
That's why I love Road to Perdition so much. It's because it's Tom Hanks
as when he shotguns Hanks fucking Jude Law in the possible. Face. Yeah. You're like, yeah, take that, pretty boy. I mean, bad guy.
And I never liked Jude Law either, so I love that movie.
You're like, yeah, fuck him up. And he doesn't deserve a good face.
Jude Law, pretty pimp in Sherlock, though, right?
Yeah, he is, Plays Watson. Speaking of Watson, actually, let's go in some news. How's that? Want to talk about some news, Mike?
Bounce them off me, man.
All right, we got, first up is DC Universe details revealed.
Ooh.
It's a catalog of DC Comics shows and, movies for a low price of, I have no idea.
Oh, it's a streaming service?
Yep. I don't think they announced the price just yet. It debuts later this year, I think. Yeah, fall of 2018. I'm sure we're going to probably hear about it at Comic-Con in 2 weeks. But as of right now, they're kind of pushing it to be a platform for original content, including the big ones they announced in the trailer, if you haven't watched it yet, are going to be their live-action show Titans, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, Young Justice Outsiders, and Harley Quinn.
Wait. Live action? All these live action?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? A live action Swamp Thing?
I don't know actually if... I think Swamp Thing's animated. I think almost all of them are animated except for Titans is a live action.
You know what this would be perfect for?
What's
all
that?
Those fucking animated features that they do?
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't used to do a lot of them. But like they pumped out some really good ones, and then all of a sudden they just started making a ton of them, and I was like, "Well, nah."
Like the Suicide Squad,
yeah, ones or whatever. And then like they like this fucking Ninja Batman one that came out. I'm like, I want to see them, but like, I don't want to pay $20 to watch them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, put those shits on a streaming channel. I'll buy your streaming channel and give it a go for a while.
Yeah. So then you'll see, so on top of the original content, much beloved films will be available at launch, including all four original Superman movies.
That's dope.
Yep. You'll have, animated movies, including the Flashpoint Paradox, the Green Lantern First Flight, the classic Wonder Woman TV show.
What? Really? The,
yep.
The live action.
Yep.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. The first two seasons of Batman animated series, and the original Wonder Woman series.
Why not all?
I don't know.
Are they just cock teasing that for later? Since probably, that's one of their big ones.
Yeah.
That's worth it right there. Yeah,
for sure.
So I don't have to watch DVDs.
I know, right? Ugh.
Let's
spend $9,000 on fucking iTunes. Which still makes me like, why don't they sell it like a giant collection?
Yeah, so you don't have to make four different purchases.
Yeah.
So idiots. Dumb. Idiots. Idiots.
Yeah. And then for comics, there's gonna have a curated selection of thousands of DC comics that will span the origin stuff, and then into like key issues.
So like digital copies of shit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool that it's still on multiple platforms.
Yeah. So you'll be able to watch, you'll be able to read a lot of those ones, and it's like they'll have big tentpole ones like the Geoff Johns, Jim Lee, Justice League run. You'll have the Snyder's Swamp Thing and Harley Quinn, a bunch of different ones in there too.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty interesting. So they'll be like, yeah, and they'll have like part of it also will be like you'll be able to get discounts on merchandise as well in there as well. So they'll have like things like that, and it's going to come out like on every platform possibly imaginable as of right now. And then you'll have like they're going to tie a bunch of stuff in there too. So you'll probably see like promo stuff for, you know, like during the release of like Justice League, for example. They'll have all the first run movies as part of it, be able to watch in there too. That's for like cool. A limited time or whatever. So they're having a lot of ideas behind it. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll hear more about it in 2 weeks at
Comic-Con. Just the fact that they're doing like, and like, don't get me wrong, I'm not like, oh my God, I need to see Wonder Woman, but yeah. The TV show, but like the fact that they're reaching back and grabbing those, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I didn't even realize they still had
pretty neat.
The rights to that. I would have figured it's somebody else.
I think Warner has it.
And then like the animated movies, like I was saying, to throw those on there, that's dope. That's pretty cool. Batman the animated series on there, like if they do that and the old Superman cartoon, and then, you know, Batman Beyond, like,
yeah,
fuck yeah, I'll
Superman Batman Adventures.
I'd be really into that, as long as the price point's right.
Yeah,
so that's a big thing. Your price point's fucking dumb. You're gonna be like,
if it's a little too high, it's like it's a month. You know,
where are you going with it?
At the most, $20.
It would have to be really good.
Yeah,
it would have to be. I would definitely try it out for a month, but I don't know if I'd renew it. But I would definitely try to cram in as much stuff as I could in that month.
And I'll check it out whenever. I'm sure they'll do some kind of trial thing. You know, like, you know, 2 weeks. Or the first month,
yeah,
free, whatever it was,
a week free, know? Or some shit.
Yeah, I just hope they do it in correlation with something, like CBS did with like Star Trek. Not that that attracted my attention, but you know, like they did the thing where like, hey, like, you know, check out the first month for like $1 or whatever it happens to be, and watch, you know, as we release new episodes of this series that we hope you're gonna like. I'm trying to see if they mention. If what's gonna be live action, was I know Titans is live action, and I'm pretty sure Doom Patrol.
We got Robin
picture,
right?
Yeah, a new updated one. Yeah, we had one from before that was kind of iffy at best, if you ask me. He looked very, and I think that was before it was really. I think that was early, so it was set to be. Oh no, Swamp Thing's live action. Yep.
What?
I just clicked on the thing for the story, yeah. Let's get some actual people behind it, too. Interesting. Yeah, that's a live action. Debuting in 2019. I'm sure we'll hear more about that next in a couple weeks, too. That's pretty interesting. What, Doom Patrol? Is that live action, too? Because that's nuts. Shit, Doom Patrol's live action as well.
What the fuck?
Oh, this is going to be way more expensive than I think I want to spend. Because that's going to... So Doom Patrol is going to feature Cyborg as one of the main characters.
Low-budget Cyborg?
I don't know, maybe. Plastic, just plastic pieces stuck to someone human?
All right, so now you have to pull on, like, what we know... And who's the closest thing to Cyborg in a TV show currently going? You probably have to go Flash, right?
Yeah.
So, like, imagine if Flash did a Cyborg. What would he look like? That's probably what he's going to look like.
Yeah.
Not movie grade, obviously.
Yeah, it's not going to be all metal and changing shapes.
Which I will say, they did that a lot better than I thought they were going to do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. He looked a lot better in the movie than he did in the preview from Batman v Superman.
There was one trailer where you're like, ooh.
Yeah, he looked really rough, and I was like, yikes. Let's see, what else are they talking about in here? I know Young Justice Outsiders, that's the continuation of the show that everyone wanted to come back in general, the animated one they had out. And then, of course, Harley Quinn is going to be an animated feature as well, or show. Where basically it's basically her and her friends. I know they're gonna have where's it at here? With help of Poison Ivy and a ragtag crew of DC castoff, Harley tries to earn the seat at the biggest table in villainy, the Legion of Doom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, right. So interesting. Yeah, so that's DC Universe. That's their digital platform.
That's got a lot more cooler shit than I was thinking. And now that I'm thinking about it, you got like the old Flash TV show.
It can probably be on there as well.
Probably be on there. Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
Could be on there.
Yeah. Ooh, Birds of Prey. I know you love that show.
I've never watched it.
There you go. See?
If it's on something that I've already owned, yep. I will definitely.
That's like a free thing. Yeah. Like, I've already watched enough to pay for my money.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch this now. Just brace yourself.
It's fucking no, terrible. I know it's terrible, but you did have Mark Hamill kind of playing the Joker in it.
I did.
And so, you know.
Try your best to hopefully stomach it. Other comic book news. There's a couple of different things, actually. A lot of comic books being picked up for TV shows and movies in the last week. Leading up to probably what I would say is going to be more details hitting around Comic-Con time in a couple weeks here.
Comic-Con,
as some fat nerds would say.
It's going to be so weird nerds. Having a Comic-Con with no Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Like.
Really fucking weird.
Yeah, I don't.
Like before. Yeah, it's going to be like, yeah. Like, oh. Yeah. I haven't seen the schedule. I don't think they've fully published the schedule yet, so I don't even know who's moderating a lot of those.
I know Yvette Nicole Brown took over the Walking Dead stuff
for Comic-Con. That makes sense, yeah, because she's a giant fucking Walking Dead
nerd. I was kind of hoping Kev Smith would just slide in and take all the Hardwick stuff.
Yeah, he could do that still.
And he's safe, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about Kevin Smith.
Yeah, don't worry about old Kevin Smithy. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt he's going to be probably all over that place. I know Patton Oswalt's probably going to do a couple different things. He usually does.
Yeah, but like the big, all the Hall H stuff, though. Yeah. Like, usually that's Hardwick's fucking bread and butter right there.
Yeah, and Marvel's not going to be there, so it'll be interesting to see who does a lot of that stuff. And we'll find out when the release of the schedule.
Patton Oswalt would be a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like he's kind of got too much of his own shit going on. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It'll be interesting, though, because that... I mean, not to get into, all the Hardwick stuff, but just the fact that he is a staple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the people you think of when you think San Diego Comic-Con. So.
Like, oh, shit ton of panels hosted by Chris Hardwick in the Hall H all week. Yeah, so it'd be interesting. But So just recently there was announced that the horror comic Gideon Falls, which literally is like on issue 3, so it just literally came out, is being optioned for a TV show that is going to premiere. I want to say they said it's tentatively sci-fi. I can't remember if they said it was actually... No, it wasn't. They didn't actually say who was... it was a publisher house that's going to be optioning it out to other to channels. But yeah, it literally just like March was the first issue of Gideon Falls. Like we're literally on three issues out.
That's weird.
Three or four.
Is it good?
That's really good. Yeah, it's fucked up. But it's one of those ones where you can easily get away with live action, no big issue, because there's no like you know nobody flying around and stuff like that. But it's gonna be an hour long, drama series because you can't call it a horror series apparently. It's pretty good.
When is AMC or Netflix gonna go ahead and give me an American Vampire TV show?
I don't know.
It just seems like that's the move, right? Like, yeah, it's just been sitting there for a few years now.
And even every season will be a little different because it's gonna progress through time. Yeah. So you have your old Western time. You have your fucking. Your Vegas in the fucking your early young 40s.
Hollywood time.
Yep. Oh yeah.
I mean, just kind of like Netflix is obviously like a default, but that just feels like an AMC show, right? Yeah. Like they did Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Give me
yeah.
a fucking American Vampire.
And Walking Dead's like probably coming up to an end here pretty soon.
I mean, it kind of should be, right?
Yeah.
I don't watch it. I mean, I've seen some of it, but I don't like actively watch it. But it feels like. Just off of like the talk on the internet, which I don't know how else to say that. Sounds like a dumb way to phrase that. But it feels like it's losing like the passion that it had just a couple yeah. seasons ago. Like, I mean, I feel like it peaked with the Negan stuff.
Yeah, it was a fever pitch.
Yeah, like everybody was talking about it. Everybody. And now it's like, oh, the finale was last night.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's not a big giant deal anymore.
Yeah, it's not, you know,
like I can go on Twitter the night of the finale and not just fucking have every tweet be about The Walking Dead. Because when Homeboy home run that dude's face, that's all I saw on Twitter for like 2 days was violent fucking.
Less of a home run, more of a bunt.
Yeah.
Trust me, it was more of a bunt.
Okay.
Very solid 5 or 6 bunt.
Yeah.
So he and Babe Ruth, they didn't point for the fucking trees and be like, oh, guess what? I'm aiming for at least one eyeball and most of a nose. It was all straight down. It was brutal.
I watched it.
Yeah. He put home run power behind those bunts yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
But it was not like swinging for the fences. Unless the fence is like downward.
The monologue he gave those.
Oh, so good. He hammered shit out of
it. Pretty good, dude. You know me, I love people chewing up scenery when they're delivering a gnarly-ass monologue. And that dude was
It's one of those things where, like, that was, like, one of those ones where, like, a monologue wasn't just a monologue. It was, like, a payoff, too.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm a fucking seeing badass. That clip
made me wish I had watched all the show up until that point. Because, like, I was like, oh, this is so good. But I know people who have been on board with this show the whole time. Enjoyed it so much more than me, and I got a little upset that I was like, ah. But still, I didn't have to invest a couple years. I just, you know, a couple minutes. We're good.
Yep. So, yeah, Gideon Falls. I believe I can't remember if I found a thing for it, but they're, Sci-Fi's got a bunch of new stuff coming out after they canceled fucking one of their most popular shows. Blows my mind, but I'm getting a guess the price for that show was probably getting pretty astronomical, and I think with the success of Happy, I think they're really steering in a different direction.
Yeah,
because they've already started going a different direction anyways with like The Magicians and The Expanse, but The Expanse is so expensive for every episode because of how much it costs to make those really good. Special effects for, I mean, not just for a TV show, just in general.
I always wonder though, like, if a show's so good, but the budget of making it is kind of what's holding you back. Like, I'm always kind of wondering why American channels or TV channels don't do the BBC style and just make
mini movies,
like 3 hour
mini movies, yeah, like,
you know, hour and a half, fucking, and just space them out, like do one a week, you know, like, or one every couple of weeks. I don't know why, like, I feel like, so it's like 6 hours, you know, if you, okay, so if you do 3 hour and a half, you got 5.5 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 5.5 hours as opposed to, you know, a 13 episode hour long thing, you're making half the show, but you could pace yourself and tell, focus on story more. I feel like that'd be a better trade-off if you still want to keep stuff, you know, original content on your channel. Like, why not go that route on the more expensive shit?
True.
And then just make some fucking, some other random ass 30 minute episode that you, or 30 minute TV show that you get 22 episodes out of a year. That's a lot cheaper to keep your original content going. A
lot cheaper. Especially stuff where like, long form TV where you want to tell a story, you could do more of that with that style where that, like, you know, do you ever watch Luther?
No.
The Idris Elba?
Yeah, I know what it is, but I've never watched it.
Because each episode is still an hour long, but there's like 6 of them in a season or in a series. But it tells one big story over those 6 episodes. So you're a little more, your storytelling sped up a little bit more, but also still has, you know, really good feel to it, and you're not rushing through or trying to pace yourself because your story is not long enough or detailed enough to be a longer, you know, 23 episodes. Not that many shows do 23 episodes in a narrative anymore. Which I think is kind of nice because then you're not worried about, you know, like that, hey, how can we make this story last that long? And making it 10, 13 episodes long, I think, is a really good way to do it. So yeah, Gideon Falls. Check it out. Eventually, well, I mean, sure. We'll
read the comic first, you fucks.
Yeah, it's a really good comic. The trade's probably pretty close to coming out in a couple weeks because it is Image. So they do.
If you live in Phoenix, go to Dronda Comics.
That's right.
Buy that shit. If you live in Yuma, Hastings, I don't know. I don't know where you guys get comics from. I'm sure Hastings has them.
Did Hastings close yet?
Nah, I don't know.
A bunch of those are closing, so.
Fuck, did Hastings, hey Yuma, did Hastings close?
Hey Yuma.
Because that's going to make me as mad as painting over all the movie murals on the plaza. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go to your local comic book shop. Buy physical copies.
Yep. Jeff Lemire's Gideon Falls.
Art looks better on paper than it does on your iPad.
It's true. It's true.
So do that.
Also, another comic book adaptation is the time of movie. Brad Peyton, who some people know, some people don't. He is the director of disaster movies such as San Andreas and Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
A very.
Him and The Rock have a long history.
They do. They do 3 movies?
I think more than that now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, why not? I could probably look it up, but I'm not gonna.
Fuck it.
But he is attached to work on a movie called Skyward for Sony. Skyward's an interesting book. It literally just came out. It is actually written by the showrunner of Lucifer, the television show.
Ooh.
The creator of it is Joe Henderson. Skyward's an interesting story. So the story of this, a little easier to explain than Gideon Falls, because Gideon Falls has a lot of spoiler stuff I'd tell you about this. But basically, Skyward is set in a world where Earth has lost a fraction of its gravity. So people can actually use this to essentially fly or jump real high and things like that. So everyone kind of becomes, not a superhero, but, you know, kind of freewheeling and stuff like that. So getting around is a little easier and stuff like that. Basically, fast forward 20 years into the future, everyone's become more accustomed to the lifestyle of the lessened gravity. And then one of the main character, Willa Fowler, who was born after what they refer to as G-Day, which is where gravity...
Gravity Day?
Yep, Gravity Day. There you go.
Nailed it.
She uncovers a plot to basically restore gravity to its original state. So I think they're on issue 2 or 3 of that one now. I mean, 3 is probably about to come out. I have not read it. I read a little bit about it when I was doing it. But it's interesting to see that they're kind of going for other stuff in there. So that should be pretty cool as well. Speaking of pretty cool as well, we got a couple adaptations happening as well, or I should say adaptations slash remakes coming up here pretty fast. We have a young lady named Faith Adkins is set to direct the adaptation of Firestarter.
All right.
The Stephen King book, and also previously made into a movie with
Drew Barrymore
back when she
baby
was
baby Drew Barrymore,
little baby cokehead. I think it might have been before, I think that was right on the coke frame, because like E.T. and then she got addicted to coke and Reese's Pieces.
Well, that's what gave her all those fire powers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, she's like, eat your face. And obviously this is all coming off the success, the wild success of Stephen King has had in the box office, as well as just a small screen as well.
Like, people are taking this shit seriously now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of goofy fucking Stephen King shit that came out in years past. I don't know if it was just the writers, like, adapting it poorly or just not giving it the right budget.
A lot of it is budgetary, so you have budget constraints that these writers have to work into.
There's a lot of, like, TV movies, and, like, TV movies are always going to suck a little bit, you know?
Which, to me, in my memory...
They had Shining, right?
Yeah, because that was the one produced by him, because he hated the Kubrick version. But, like, in my head, I still have an issue of trying to separate the miniseries The Stand and the miniseries Tommyknockers from my brain. I know they're different, but in my memories, I'm like, yeah, there's this part where they're on a plane with that, like, handicap, like, that mentally handicap. Nope, that's Tommyknockers, not The Stand.
Is that Tommyknockers, or is that Langoliers?
Langoliers, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, I can't, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, I just can get them confused and makes my brain hurt.
Yeah, because now I'm trying to think The Stand was just the road trip, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for some reason in my brain...
You're like, oh, they're definitely at that airport.
They're at the airport, right? Like, it was on the airport.
With that guy from Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, exactly. You know, my brain's like, no, that's it. And I'm like, nope. The other part of my brain's like, you're an idiot. That's not. That is something else.
You're an idiot.
And you still thought of the wrong one because you thought it was Tommyknockers, and it's not. It's Langoliers because you're a big old dumb moron. Because my brain likes to yell at me when I make mistakes about stuff.
Your brain is really rude.
It is very rude. It calls me fat all the time, which is very upsetting.
What dick.
Yep. So for the people who don't know Faith Adkins, she is best known for her 2018 Golden Globe-winning foreign film called In the Fade, which I know most of you are going to be like, wait, what? She's done a bunch of stuff, so it's interesting to see that a newish type director is coming out to do this, but it does have... she has a lot of buzz behind her, but she's very, I guess, apparently, like, very big into that kind of I don't want to say genre, but like that kind of stuff, you know. Beyond like paranormal, I don't know if End of the Fade is paranormal or not, but like that kind of dark storytelling you probably need for Firestarter, because it's not exactly a family friendly romp through the
it could be
and you could ruin it. But y'all don't remember 1984, a little movie with starring Heather Locklear, Martin Sheen, and Keith David, as well as we mentioned before, the coke riddled little Drew Barrymore. We're all in that one.
Wait, who was in that?
Heather Locklear, Martin Sheen, Keith David.
I don't remember them at all in that movie.
Oh, because y'all remember her as starting fires everywhere.
That's literally all I have. I have the VHS cover art stuck in my head.
Yeah, it was with the fire behind her. She's like, yeah.
It's all I remember now that I'm thinking about it. I had no idea they were in that. Yeah. Good job, Cody.
You know, that's what I do.
My brain's not working real great either, I guess.
Yeah. And just to go along with this, in recent news, other than Firestarter, we have It Chapter 2. We have Dr. Sleep, the remake of or reimagining of Pet Sematary, because I guess it's going to be more closer to the adaptation of the book this than a remake of the movie, just like It was. And by the way, Dr. Sleep is the sequel to The Shining, for the people who don't know. And then they also have The Boogeyman, which is being made by the screenwriters from A Quiet Place. So, yeah, lots of big Stephen King news. Speaking of Stephen King, actually, Castle Rock, the Hulu show that's coming out, based in the Stephen King universe, is going to premiere at San Diego Comic Con this year.
That's so dope.
I'm going to try to get in that shit faux show. Speaking of remakes, guess who's coming back to the big screen, Mike? This is also in the horror genre. Let's take a wild stab in the dark.
Pinhead.
Nope. I did use the word stab, but not like stab in the head, but like stab in the dark. There's stabbing involved in it.
I don't know who.
I don't want to doll up the answer.
Chucky?
Boom, Child's Play, son.
Are they going to try to make big it scary again or remake? Funny?
They're making a, I think they're making a big play at it.
You think that movie could be scary nowadays?
Done right, yeah.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's still a doll.
It is a doll. I think the big thing is making it look like an actual doll killing people versus a little person in a doll outfit killing people.
You remember how Chucky became a doll? Or how the guy got into it? Because Chucky was the name of the toy. Wasn't the name of the killer.
Chucky's is the doll, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember how he became alive?
I knew he was executed, right?
No, it was.
That's that
killer
stupid.
That like escaped.
Yeah,
like, and he's about to die. Like, he like got shot as he's running away, and he performs this fucking real quick like devil worship thing in the middle of a fucking toy store,
and he possesses the doll. Yeah, he
possesses
and there's
the doll.
Whole wall of them.
Yeah,
yeah. No, what's the one where the guy gets has electrical powers?
Oh, I don't...
Shocker?
Something like that. Yeah, but he gets electrocuted and he just absorbs it. He's like, fuck you guys.
There was that one with...
I'm Jamie Foxx now in that one movie.
Oh, God, gross. Then there's the one with Russell Crowe. Also.
That was a digital one. It was like where he became like...
Digitized.
He was like a computer program or something.
Yeah. Remember that one too.
Was that the one with
like a virtuality type thing where they had like did training in virtuality?
Was that the one with Denzel?
No. Was that did it have Denzel in it?
We should probably look that up. So off topic.
Fuck you. We used to do this as a theme for shows. Let's see. What how you spell Russell? Russell Crowe. With an E, because he's not from America.
Russell.
Virtuosity.
Yeah, dude. Did have fucking...
Is that the one, Denzel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that because the guy shot stuff. And, like, if you shot him, like, part of his head, like, digitize away and then come back or something, right?
I don't know. Or was he a robot or something? I don't fucking know, man.
It's been forever.
The movie came out in forever ago, apparently, because I don't have the date right here. 1995.
Sounds about right.
A lot of bad movies came out in the mid-90s, especially if they're trying to be futuristic.
Yeah, for sure. But you also had gems like Fallen.
But that wasn't trying to be futuristic.
No, but...
Like, any sci-fi mid-90s thing was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's super rough. Super rough.
It seemed like this is the next wave, but it was like, you guys should just wait 15 years and then start doing all these movies.
So, yeah. The other crazy thing about this, too, is that's not the only Child's Play news to talk about, either. A couple weeks ago, they even said that the original creator of it is actually trying to work on a TV series based on Child's Play.
I don't think that'll work.
Yeah, like that's not like a. I could see you doing like an event series, like you did like 5 or 6 episodes, but really you're not like a mini series event. You're not going to do much more than that. If I said the name Alan Taylor to you, Mike, do you know who I'm talking about?
Nope.
He's directed a few things. I'll give you a couple here. He did a couple episodes of a little show called Mad Men.
Okay.
He's done a few episodes of a wee little thing called Game of Thrones. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not.
I've like maybe seen an advertisement for it once.
He did, unfortunately,
like a billboard somewhere.
Unfortunately, he did Terminator Genesis. Can't really totally hold that against him. I don't think it's all his fault. He did do everyone's least favorite Thor movie.
Two?
Dark World.
I like that movie.
I do too. But he is the director of those ones.
I've heard people complain about the final action sequence where they're like
jumping around.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's very comic booky. I think it's the problem. People are like, yeah, this is the nerd stuff. I just want to see him hit people with a hammer. But he is actually up to doing a prequel in the Sopranos universe called The Many Saints of Newark. Which is interesting.
So I'm not totally brushed up on my Sopranos, but that would be Tony's family, right?
Yes.
Coming up.
So set in the 60s.
And it'll be like his dad then.
His dad building the mob family in the name of Sopranos.
That could be cool.
It's pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because then you would get some characters that you already kind of know.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about getting the people.
Some of the stuff you heard about and stuff like that, yeah. So an interesting little thing happening. So that's an interesting... I thought that was an interesting little story that popped up. Let's see, what else we got? They debuted the first poster for Glass, which is the... I don't want to say... It's a sequel, but it's like this... Like, you have... Justice League, and you have the Avengers, where you bring in these, like, all these characters you've had, right? Well, not to be outdone, but Mr. M. Night Shyamalan has decided to do that himself and bring together 3 characters from different movies. Two of them come from a movie called Unbreakable, which if you don't remember... that little flick had everyone's favorite skyscraper cop from it. He's in that. Bruce Willis, if you don't know who I'm talking about from Die Hard. You have Samuel Jackson's Mr. Glass, who is the villain.
I will say I have seen that movie, but I believe the last time I saw it was in theaters.
Okay.
So I don't remember much about it at all. I remember digging it. But I really couldn't tell you much more than that about it.
Quick breakdown. So, your main character, Bruce Willis's character.
He's always getting fucked up, right?
He's always getting... he's not always getting fucked up. He's not like,
Like John McClane.
He is a security guard who was a college athlete who was in a car accident and hurt his leg and it derailed his career. And so he basically makes meager jobs to go through. And one of them is he's security guard at a football stadium for the local college, big college there. And it turns out that there was this train wreck on his way home from his job back to his house. And of all the people who on the train, everybody died except for him. He came out completely unscathed, or as I say, unbroken.
Oh.
And there's big fuss about this, and you end up finding out that essentially, long story short, he has never been sick in a day in his life. The leg injury that he had was actually faked because he wanted to take blame for the car accident because it was actually his now wife and mother of his child.
Hmm.
And so he actually never had the injury, but because he kept the lie up, he could never actually try out for sports. because they're like, oh, we can't trust you because you have this bum leg, which didn't, you know, obviously derailed your career, blah, blah, blah. And then you have the villain in the movie played by Samuel Jackson, who's Elijah Price, or a.k.a. Mr. Glass, who was been looking for a true life superhero. And so he, with all of his riches, has secretly been finding a way to cause accidents to see if somebody survives. So you find out he's the one behind the whole train accident that killed all those people, but he survived. And so you go through, and just like any good superhero story, your superhero has to have some kind of weakness. His weakness is water. So he can't swim in it, so anything like that. So that's an interesting little thing they have. And then Mr. Glass, the reason they call him Mr. Glass is he has a brittle bone disease where his bones are very easily broken. And so he got obsessed with superheroes because he thought, oh, if I can have this ultimate weakness, there's got to be someone with ultimate strength. So he put it upon himself to then find that person, which ended up being Bruce Willis's character, David Dunn, as his character's name. And then the third character that's in it is James McAvoy's character, you know, good old Jimmy McAvoy, who played a character in Split named Kevin Wendell Crumb, a.k.a. The Horde. And apparently he's a schizophrenic, but one of his personalities actually can transform his body into a kind of like a Jacqueline Hyde type situation. So instead of having just Hyde, you know, you have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde's this big monster. He actually transforms his body into this beast known as the Horde. But he also has other personalities. Then they're like a female, a little kid, a bunch of other ones, I guess, are in there too. He's a split personality, is the name. And they're all coming together in one big movie called Glass, where if you go by the poster, Bruce Willis's character has been locked up in some kind of a sane asylum. And then Mr. Glass is right there with him.
So it was that. I will say, like, anybody who's listening to this podcast, I don't like M. Night Shyamalan movies anymore. And so I never watched Split because at a certain point I was like, all right, fucker, you got me enough. I'm like, stop. I'm not giving you more money for the Sixth Sense anymore. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's kind of how I was looking at it. But then I heard Split was actually really good and a lot of positive feedback about it. And I was like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, this looks dope.
And then you saw the name.
And then I saw the name. I was like, well, fuck this movie.
Yeah, no, it was like, suck balls.
But so maybe I was being a little harsh and I should watch it. But I do remember after the weekend of that release, people were like, holy shit, it links up with, and Bruce Willis was it. And they're like everyone was real excited about it. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Like, for a sequel, you know, sequel, air quote, sequel to a movie that you didn't know it was a sequel to, that kind of hit it well, but then also makes sense.
Yep.
That's pretty dope. And it makes me, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the Unbreakable and then probably watch this, probably watch Split at some point, which sucks. I'm a little upset about. Hopefully it's on Netflix or something where I don't have to pay for it.
Might be on Amazon. We'll have to look. We'll probably have to do a thing where we all watch it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, up until The Village wasn't what turned me away from M. Night Shyamalan.
That made me
It made me mad. Definitely iffy. It did make me mad. Because like, that's your twist. That's your fucking twist. Is it's not all real. Like, this is, that's dumb. Like, the rest of your movies all had this paranormal type thing twist to it. And all this is, like, that's the ultimate twist, is this didn't have a paranormal twist to it. I'm like, you fucking piece of garbage. But The Happening is where I was lost to the M. Night Shyamalan train. By far. So you remember that train wreck of a fucking garbage movie where nobody should have survived. The plants were killing people. They're driving people to kill themselves and other people around them. It's a really dumb movie with terrible fucking acting.
So you made it through Lady in the Water?
Yes.
How did you think about that one?
It wasn't great, but it was one of those things where, like, oh, this is like a really inventive story.
Okay.
It made me feel like, how, so you know, like, that amazement you got out of, like, The Shape of Water?
Yeah.
It made me, like, almost have that, to the point where it's just a little bit, I think it was a little bit, that movie was ahead of its time in a way. But it had that paranormal thing to it. You know what I mean? She was a like crazy fucking cannibal mermaid thing. Spoiler, I guess, for a fucking like 20-year-old movie. But it was fun, but it was very bizarre. So you had the one guy who did nothing but, because it was very much like, escaping on the name right now, the one with Mel Gibson, Signs.
Signs.
So you had Signs. I really enjoyed that movie. Other than the end was a little bit terrible with the acting, but that's okay. But I really liked the story in that way and kind of what they did with it. But the Lady in the Water was very, very similar to that. And like, there's all these things. These characters had all these weird traits to them. Like the one guy who only worked up, worked out half his body.
Yeah.
So like half his body was like fucking ripped, you know? And then so like he came into play later on, and so on and so forth. The other different neighbors and stuff had their own little part to play. But it was like a very interesting, story elements and things like that was very clever. And like, hey, I like that kind of stuff when that happens. And then you have The Happening, which is fucking terrible. Like, just fucking terrible. But I really want to, like, I will leave my judgment for Glass after I see Split. If Split is as good as a lot of people say it is, then I'll be like, okay, I'm kind of on board for Glass, and I may even give it a shot to go see it in theaters when it comes out in January of next year. Until then, I'm gonna have to go ahead and say maybe not right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Hey, Mike, if you had to pick a young actor in Hollywood to be a role, the son of Goose from Top Gun. So if you remember the movie, yeah. Top Gun,
ER guy.
Anthony Edwards, or ER guy, as plainly said just or now.
Pet Cemetery guy.
Or Pet Cemetery guy.
And then no other pools because I don't remember.
Nerds.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah, God damn
piece
it.
Piece of garbage.
I'm a piece of shit. You're right.
Who would you pick? Who would you pick to play the son of, the grown-up son of Anthony Edwards' Goose, who tragically died before he was born? Yep. And the flat spin and the canopy didn't pop properly. Just broke his neck and died before he hit the ground.
Oh, fuck. You know, what sucks about this, I know this isn't who it is.
Okay. You know who it is?
No, I don't know who it is. But I know what I'm going to say is not it. Because I would have heard it by now. Okay. For sure. But you said that, and the first person that popped in my mind was Stephen Amell.
Ooh, okay.
Because I feel like he kind of looks like it could be, you know?
When I say who it is, you're going to change your mind on that. But yeah, okay. I can see who it is, yeah.
But like, that's who initially popped in my head. Right. I was like, that doesn't work. That's not it. And then, but I can't think of anybody else now. So, Stephen Amell?
It's not Stephen Amell.
Who is it, Cody?
Miles Teller.
Okay.
See?
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Once you hear it, you're like, oh, shit, okay.
I almost feel like he would be Tom Cruise's son more, though.
Stephen Amell could be Tom Cruise's son.
Maybe it is Tom Cruise's son.
Maybe.
Oh, this is a twist.
Oh, Meg Ryan, what's wrong with you?
It was Meg Ryan.
So, do me a favor real quick, if anybody's out there. Go on your favorite browser and your favorite search engine and type in this. Top Gun cast now. Okay. And you're going to be shockingly surprised by one cast member and what they look like now. And it's not going to be Val Kilmer.
Because he's straightened up a little bit.
Yes. He got a little chunky, but he has slimmed up in the last few years. It's not Tom Cruise because he's a vampire and looks exactly the same as he has ever since.
It's the Scientology blood, bruh.
Yeah, bruh. It's like the bathing in money and blood, apparently, to make you forever young and be able to do anything because you just have time travel. Yep, that's the one. Yeah.
That's not her.
Would you like to say who you found?
Kelly McGillis?
Yep.
That doesn't even...
Does not compute, right?
You would have shown me that. And here's the thing. People age.
Yep.
We get it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you could still see that young person and an older person. You can't see the young person and this older person anymore. I'm looking at it side by side, and it's...
If you put a picture of Tom Cruise from Top Gun versus Tom Cruise now, you will see a difference. A very slight difference.
No, a difference. Like, it's obviously you got baby face to, you know...
A man.
But it's like, that makes sense. Yep. And Tom Cruise looks fantastic, so it makes easier sense.
Val Kilmer,
he looks, you know, he had his time.
He is an aged version.
Yeah.
But Kelly McGinnis, on the other hand.
Even,
I did see a really funny, I think it was on Reddit about this, though. Someone did a side-by-side. You might be able to find it. It had four of the main characters from... Actually, I think they had six, because they had Tom Skerritt on there, too. But they also had Meg Ryan. But they did Anthony Edwards, and they put the same picture. Because he didn't age, because Goose died.
That's pretty funny.
I thought it was really clever.
Well, like, Anthony Edwards is obviously old as fuck. When you look at his side-by-side from a nowish picture to then, you're like, oh, shit, you got old.
Yeah.
As, you know, you should. But you look at it, and you're like, I could still see young you and old you. Can't see it anymore in Homegirl.
Nah, Kelly McGinnis, you have those actresses and actors who age poorly.
The most common one that comes to your mind is, or at least mine, is the chick from Romancing the Stone.
Yes.
What's her name?
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was fucking amazing back in the day.
Yeah.
And then you see her in, like, Dumb and Dumber 2, and you're like, no.
Yeah, you're like, oh. Uh-oh. Yeah, so, unfortunately... she is not reprising her role in Maverick, as it's
why not? Just because she's ugly now? Hollywood bias.
Yeah, a little
Hollywood bias. That's bullshit. Ugly people can still act.
But as of right now,
ugly. I feel bad for calling her ugly.
Yeah, you should. I feel
like a dickhead.
So the top runners for the role of Goose's son were Miles Teller, who we all know now got the role. Nicholas Hoult, famous for being Beast in the X-Men movies, as well as being the crazy sack of shit from Mad Max Fury Road. And then Glenn Powell, who's a more of a newer face to most people in there. But I think Miles Teller is probably the best choice for that. Plus, he's a stellar actor. So
here's the thing. Yeah, Miles Teller, very good actor. Yeah. I do not like him.
You've mentioned this before.
And I don't know what it is. And at some point, something might change. A role might change where I'm like, all right.
You saw Whiplash, right?
Yeah, I saw Whiplash. It was a fantastic movie. Yes. It's an amazing movie. He did a great job. Yep. I'm one of the eight people in the world that liked the new Fantastic Four. Well, I liked the idea of the new Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
I was just like, Miles Teller is not the guy, though. It's like, hey, Miles Teller's in this movie. I'm not going to be like, oh, I want to see that movie. I'm going to be like, that guy kind of seems like
mad.
Yeah, I hate him.
Yep.
But he's a good actor. He nails it every time. I used to be this way about Russell Crowe. And I mentioned this before. I used to hate Russell Crowe. And I'd be like, I like his movies. I just hate him. There's something about him that I hate. Then I saw Gladiator and I was like, all right, bro, I'm in.
One way over.
Yeah, so
maybe, and then you had this Gladiator, is Miles Teller's Gladiator. You had fucking Beautiful Mind. You had, what's the Fisticuffs movie?
Cinderella Man. I love Cinderella Man.
Great movie. Like,
so good. Paul Giamatti fucking kills it.
Yeah, man.
Paul Giamatti is so good when he got the right shit to be good with.
Like, Shoot 'Em Up?
Yeah, man.
I wish he was in more of that movie. And he's in a lot of that movie. I love that movie. So last bit of news before we wrap
hit today's episode. Hit the fucking road.
Hit the fucking road, as our Italian producer would say. Vanessa Kirby has been announced to star alongside Dwayne Johnson in the Fast and Furious spinoff. Mike may not recognize the name right away.
I'm Googling.
But she was in a little TV show he's been watching with his wife called The Crown.
What's her last name?
Vanessa Kirby. K-I-R-B-Y.
Kirby. No. Spelled like Kirby.
Yep. When you see her, you're going to recognize her right away.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Best known for her role in The Crown. next to be seen alongside Tom Cruise in a movie called Mission Impossible Fallout, which, by the way, I haven't bought tickets for. But do you know why? Because Harkins hasn't started selling them yet.
They're trying to set up that fucking double feature. Come watch all of them.
Can you imagine, like, hey, come watch all five of these 2+ hour movies. Or wait, six.
The six. iTunes six, is selling seven? The bundle. No, this is five.
Is this? No, this is...
Oh, this is six.
This is six.
Oh, shit.
Because it rebooted with, or I would say rebooted, but got new life back in with three, which is J.J. Abrams.
And then Ghost Protocol.
Rogue Nation. Fallout. All right. Six.
See, I would say the rebooting happened with four, though.
Three's where it brought it back, though.
Well, three was good, but nobody watched it because two was so bad.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Four, it was a long time between three and four.
Say this: four shined a new light on it.
It became the
Ghost Protocol definitely put a new light on it. Said, hey, this is way more than what you thought it could be, and I think that's because really Mission Impossible 3. Like skyrocketed J.J. Abrams as an actual movie director, and like a force to be reckoned with when it comes to Hollywood and creating stories, because he really recreated that series with that movie and made it, I would say, arguably closer to the TV show from back in the day than the first two movies did, especially the second fucking movie. That terrible fucking, might as well call it Swordfish, because that's how terrible it was. But yeah, so. She will be in the newest Mission Impossible Fallout movie. She doesn't have a stellar career following her breakout role in The Crown, because she was in movies called, like, The Frankenstein Chronicles. Not a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You have... not a movie, a TV show. It's a decent TV show. It's just... It's kind of slow and not great. You have Me Before You, and then, of course, there's a docu-drama coming out called Garth Jones that she's in as well. But the nice thing about this is, do you know who's making the spinoff movie? For Hobbs, right? Is his name Hobbs? Hobbs?
Is it Hobbs? Hobbs, yeah, it should Hobbs, be right? The Hobbs and Shaw and Hobbs?
Yeah, so yeah. She plays Shaw's sister.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
So it's called Hobbs and Shaw. Right now it's tentatively called Hobbs and Shaw.
Which is kind of terrible. This probably.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's not a great name. But I'm kind of excited about who's helming it, though. And I'm kind of, makes me.
Is it the Aquaman guy?
No.
Who is it?
I'll give you two movies that he's done and see if you can guess the name. And you probably won't because it's a fucked up name. Deadpool 2 and Atomic Blonde.
Oh, really?
And half of John Wick.
Yeah, I know the guy. I just can't. Yeah, I'm spaced on his name. David something, right?
There you go. See, David Light.
Light, yeah. Yep.
So he will be directing it as of right now.
And this is, I really want this to be all the best of the Fast and Furious franchises without all the fucking Vin Diesel.
The only down part I saw when I was reading this article yesterday, the day before, whatever it was who they're getting to write the screenplay. And I didn't know this name. His name is Chris Morgan, who is part of the ever-expanding franchise that is Fast and Furious, but he's only worked on one of them. Do you want to guess which one he might have worked on?
No, no. Which one?
Tokyo Drift.
Was that the first thing he's done?
I didn't look it up. I just saw it and I was like, yikes. Fuck. But did you know this, though? Did you know
No, he's worked on more than...
I didn't look at him. Well, this says he...
He might have started with Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started with Tokyo Drift.
And went on further.
But this is not a bad... He's partly credited with all the Fast movies after that. But he did... 47 Ronin.
That wasn't half bad.
He did Gang Related, the TV show, some of that.
Okay.
And Bride of Frankenstein, I guess. Is that out? No, that's upcoming.
Okay, sorry. I was like, what? No.
I was like, I didn't see that.
I was like,
I want to see that.
I was like, wait, what? Vin Diesel plays Frankenstein? Like,
obviously.
Yeah. But they also announced two more movies in the Fast and Furious franchise. 9 and 10 have release dates.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
April 10th, 2020. Fast and Furious 9, as it's called right now. And Fast and Furious 10, as it's called now, is going to be following up 2 years later. On April 2nd, 2021.
We called this months ago. It's going to be called Fast X.
Oh, we did.
If it's called anything other than
Fast X. And it's not in space, right? It has to be in space.
I hope it's in space. But it's got to be called Fast X. There's no way.
So Fast 9 needs to be underwater.
It needs to have an underwater element for sure.
Yeah. And then Fast 10 needs, or Fast X needs to be in space because that's why they were underwater.
But this is the shitty part about the Fast and Furious franchise.
We're not far off.
Is I really think it could have a space element by the 10th one and not
be... 2021. So 2021, we're 4 years away from that, right? Mm-hmm. So less than 4 years if you want to go by the release date, whatever, right? We'll just by the year. We're not, that's not that far. That's not that hard to stretch. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see The Fate of Furious, which is Fast and Furious 8, for the people who don't know how to count properly.
Me either.
But it looked like G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Retaliation.
Yeah. Like, it just,
The Rock,
like,
was in it.
Yeah. And there's a submarine. So, like,
Rhett Reese wrote that.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Weird, right?
Like, yeah. Like, man, you're better than this, right?
Still flexing my muscles, man.
He's like, I just want to try something different. Out. Well, don't do that.
Here's the thing about, if that was the first one, outside of, like, killing all the G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
If that was the first one, I feel like the second one could have been pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of starting where they started.
Actually, if you really look at it, if you look at the first G.I. Joe movie and you look at the second one, you can really see that correlation.
Yeah.
If they would have made a third one,
I feel like it would have been pretty cool.
It would have been pretty cool, or just what Fast and Furious is doing, where it just makes more ridiculous. Yeah. Like, then they would have been in space for sure.
Yeah.
Like, Cobra is on the moon.
Well, I think the all first good one villains was, had a space element, didn't it?
No.
I really want to say there's a space underwater. Station in the first one.
Underwater.
Oh, that's where I'm getting mixed up. Yeah. Not on land.
You're going the wrong direction. Water first, then space.
You're
land,
right.
Water, space. Land, water, space. Air is for pussies.
This.
We're putting that on a shirt.
Land, water,
space. Front. Land, water, space. Back. Air's for pussies.
Oh, we should probably end it on that. I like,
yeah. That's where it ends, kid.
That's pretty good.
As they say in the business, comes naturally. We are
Mike.
I am Cody. And again, that space was Joe because this bitch ass ain't here.
Yeah.
And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
And air is for pussies.
Air is for pussies. That's a
fucking pussies.
I learned that from MacGyver.